I'd like to know if you guys would not mind helping me in singing just one stanza of hymn number 322, Nothing Between. My soul and the Savior, not of this world's delusive dreams, I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine, there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, not of this world delusive dreams. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine, there's nothing between, nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would speak to our hearts today. Father, I pray that it will not just go in one ear and out the other, but through the power of Your Holy Spirit, I pray that You would make Your Word become practical in our lives, so that when we leave here, we are leaving here with the word of life. Prepare our hearts so that when You come, every single person here under the sound of my voice will be amongst those saying, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us." Let all of God's people say, Amen. Amen. I want to thank the leadership of the church for this invitation. I want to thank our Heavenly Father. God is good, isn't He?
Amen.
And there is nothing that is impossible with God. God is bigger than any circumstance that you and I will ever face in this lifetime. God is just awesome, my friends. And we should walk around more with an attitude that says we serve a mighty God. You know, oftentimes we like to put God in a box. We like to limit God. But God is bigger than your wildest imaginations. The Bible says that He is able. He is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think. And so, my friends, I want to encourage you to let you know that the God that we serve, He loves you. And God is desperate. He is desperate to save each and every single one of us. And you don't have to worry or hope or imagine or whether or not if God is going to do it. He has already pledged in His Word through Jesus Christ. He has already done it. The Bible tells us that we are given every spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Everything that you need to live a successful Christian life, God has already accomplished it through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, my friends, we serve an awesome and powerful God. And I want you to take that with you. Quickly, we want to tell you what our sermon title is, Alive But Dead. Alive But Dead. Just before we continue, we want you to also know that tonight at our church over at Friendship, we will be having an all-night prayer meeting from 7 o'clock p.m. till midnight. Last time we did it from, I believe it was from 8 all the way to 6 o'clock in the morning, and I must confess, I did not believe they would all stay. And I've told them that I didn't believe it, but the Lord, you know, as we were tired, but you know, God is good, and God did something to all of us that night that I think that has been a blessing for our church. And so today we are going to do that. We want to invite all of you, those of you who can come from 7 to 12, and we promise that God the Father will be there, God the Son will be there, God the Holy Spirit will be there, and we will have a wonderful time in the Lord. I must state from the onset that I'm really speaking to myself this morning. I believe that for any message to be effective, the messenger must first speak to himself, and not as though he is speaking at the people, but he must be speaking with the people. I must also confirm that I did not come here with the idea that I am going to straighten you folks out. That really is not my burden, and I have not been given the place of the Holy Spirit. But if you would permit, I would like to speak to you for the next few minutes what the Lord has been trying to get through to me. And if you would just give me your undivided attention, I believe just somewhere in this message that God would have something in there for you as well. Friends, Jesus is coming. Even if you live to be 100 and Christ doesn't come until then, His coming is still near to you and to me, because we're not guaranteed that we will see tomorrow. We're not even guaranteed you will see the next second. So for us, Jesus is coming. And His coming is sooner than when we first believed. I have heard a lot of people say to me, "You pastors have been preaching that Jesus is coming for a long time. Why hasn't He come yet?" I've had to tell them to turn to 1 Peter 3 and verse 9. I've had to tell them that the Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The reason why Jesus does not come now is because many of His children simply are not ready. Do you know that we are the reason why Christ has not come? See, some people think that God enjoys watching His children have to endure all the pain and suffering down here on this earth. Can you imagine how God the Father must feel as He is looking down upon us, wanting to come, but He can't come because should He come right now, many of His people whom He loves so much would not be saved. The Bible says that we can actually hasten the day of His coming if we would just work in connection with our high priest. Work in cooperation with our high priest. As He is now pleading His blood on our behalf, we too ought to be searching our hearts and asking God, as we are living in the time of the day of the investigative judgment, a judgment for the saints, by the way, as we are living in the time of the investigative judgments, we ought to be working in connection with our high priest. Jesus is coming. And so, church, this afternoon, it's noon right now, I reiterate that Jesus is coming, and this is not the time to fall asleep spiritually. And yet, many who claim to be waiting for our Lord to come appear to be alive, but are really dead. According to the tenets of voodoo, a person considered to be dead can be revived by a thing called a boker or a sorcerer. This person who has been revived is known as a zombie. Many of you have heard that term before. And is said to remain under the sorcerer's power since they have no will of their own. In other words, it is as if someone literally throws out your brain and inhabits your body to use as they please. My friends, I want you to understand something. And oftentimes, you know, Ellen White says that that Satan is pleased when we act as though he does not exist. There are some powers out there, my friends, that would make you shake in your shoes. As a matter of fact, she says, if our eyes could be open, we would see angels fighting off demons that are trying to destroy you. So we ought to thank God every day when we step out of our house, even to our car. We ought to thank God that we have made it that far. Oftentimes, these persons that these sorcerers take control of will often go through the rituals, even of a funeral service, to make friends and loved ones believe that the person really has died. And the person inside the casket, even though they appear dead, they are alive and hear the sounds and noise people are making all around. They are dead but alive. I like to add something here, if I may. It is obvious to me that these people are not really dead. Because when you die, you die. These folks whom we speak of are drugged with some satanic drug to make folks believe that they are really dead when they are not. These folks, while they are not in their right mind, they may be aware of what's happening all around them, but when one really dies, they are aware of nothing, for the Bible says, the dead know not anything. But getting back to our story, these people are people who are alive but dead. They may be seen walking around. Some of them may be seen working on farms or doing other menial tasks, but they are walking dead zombies. In a time when society seems hell-bent on destruction. At a time when the immoral pleasure-seeking throng are bent on reviving the ills of Sodom and Gomorrah. At a time when nations are at war with each other. At a time when every perversion is pervasive even in our own backyard. At a time when men are exalting sin and degrading all that is decent and moral, God's people are picking this time to be alive, but really dead. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, Romans chapter 13, verse 11, Paul makes this declaration. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. I want you to see what the word says there in Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. When you have it, say amen. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. This is what the Bible says. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. The Bible says, and that knowing the time, that tomorrow, that in 10 years from now, that now it is what kind of time? To awake out of what? For today or now is our salvation nearer than what? Now notice the urgency in Paul's writing. This is not a passive command. This is not some wishy-washy command. Paul is saying, in essence, get up. This particular time Paul is referring to and is not concerning time in general, but a definite time. He was referring to the time of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The urgency in which Paul makes this command ought to capture our attention and make us realize now is not the time to sleep. It is interesting to note that the word sleep here refers to a lethargic, non-aggressive, lazy Christian life. In other words, these folks whom Paul was writing to had gotten to the place in their Christian experience where they had just gotten lazy. Can you remember the first time you gave your heart to Jesus? Oh, how excited you were. Man, you would get up in the wee hours of the morning. You would read the Word of God on a daily basis. Everyone you came in contact with, you told them about Jesus. You prayed often every single day, but then something took place in that Christian experience that caused us to be alive but dead. And we've gotten to the place, some, where our Christian life has become nothing but just lazy. This condition put them in a lethargic state. They were alive but not really aware of the times in which they were living in. Sounds a lot like us in this day and age. We are alive, but somehow we don't see how the lamb-like beast is masquerading its character in order to deceive the world in worshiping the first beast. We are alive, but we don't see how spiritualism, like the Trojan horse, is infiltrating Christianity. We are alive, but we don't see that we are actually living in perilous times. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that the times that we are living in is dangerous. We're alive, but we don't see how the devil has already his drum majors in high places to try and to pass laws to destroy the commandment people of God. We are alive, but dead. We are dead when movie stars become more important than the bright and morning star. We are dead when a string of pearls replaces the pearl of great price. We are dead when friends replace the friend of all friends. We are dead when hatredness and all kinds of evil replaces the lover of mankind. The Matthew Henry commentary puts it this way. When to awake, now it is high time to awake out of the sleep of sin, for a sinful condition is a sleeping condition. Why is it that people are asleep when they should be alive and awake? It is because of a violation of one of God's principles. It is because of sin. It is in the condition of a spiritual slumber the enemy comes to destroy. Ellen White says the great controversy is nearing its end. Every report of calamity by sea or land is a testimony to the fact that the end of all things is at hand. Wars and rumors of war declare it. Is there a Christian whose pulse does not beat with quickening action as he anticipates the great event opening before us? The Lord is coming, she says. We hear the footsteps of an approaching God. This knowledge of the nearness of Christ's coming should not be allowed to lose its force. And we become careless and inattentive and fall into slumber, into an insensibility and indifference to realities. And slumber, we are in an unreal world and not sensible of the things which are taking place all around us. That's what happens when we fall asleep. You can see all the things that are happening, but yet it just does not register. You can see everything already taking place, but it just does not register. God is wanting us to wake up. During Daniel's time, King Belshazzar made a feast. You can read that in Daniel chapter 5, by the way. He made a feast. This was a feast above all feasts. Everyone who was anybody was invited except for one person, and that was Daniel. By the way, when your friends are inviting you to go to those parties, you should be concerned. When they're inviting you to do these things that are not godlike, you should be very concerned. But they did not invite Daniel. The Bible says that he invited all of his top dignitaries. He invited everyone except for Daniel. He defiled the God of heaven by drinking wine from the sacred vessels. In judgment, God began to write on the wall, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. In desperation, the king called all of his wise men to come and read the writing, but they could not. Oh, don't ever forget this. Only a man and a woman of God can understand the things of God. And so the Bible says that they could not read it because spiritual things are spiritually discerned. In order for us to understand spiritual things, then you have to have the mind of Jesus Christ. That's why when people come to me and they say, well, I don't get it. And I don't, well, you know, let me back up a little bit. I understand there are preachers sometimes that make simple things complicated. And so sometimes when people say they don't understand, you know, I can understand that. But then there are times when the truth is plain. When everything that God is wanting us to do is plain. And yet people will still come and say, well, you know, I don't see it that way. Well, I don't see what's wrong with this. And I don't see what's wrong with this. You know, my answer usually is that the reason why you can't see is because if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And you can never see what God is telling you to see in an unspiritual nature. You have to be alive with the Spirit of God. We've even come down to the place where folks want to debate the truth. What's there to debate? What are you going to debate? Thou should not kill. What's there to debate about thou should not kill? What's there to debate about thou should not commit adultery? And yet folks want to debate. Why don't you go debate with the person who's selling drugs to your children if you want to debate so much? And yet, my friends, we are living in such a time. We are living in such a time where we need spiritual eye cells. Ellen White says that this eye cells that we need is to anoint the eye so that we can detect sin under any guise. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. You got to be awake to understand the word of God. Finally, the queen mother comes in and says, son, stop all of the commotion. I know a man. Now, I want you to understand, those who serve God are a man. Some of these guys, sometimes they think they're a man just because they wear pants. Just because you wear pants does not make you a man. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, and in the beginning that God created them, a male and female. It doesn't say man, okay? It says male and female. By virtue of your coming out of your mother womb, if you're a boy, you are a male. But it takes you having a relationship with Jesus to be a man. Queen Mother says, I know a man in whom the Spirit of God dwells. Call him and he will be able to tell you the interpretation of the dream. And so they called Daniel, and as soon as he saw it, he turned to the king and told him the meaning of the dream. And that very night, Babylon was destroyed by the Medes and the Persians. While folks were spiritually asleep, they were dancing, drinking, having all kinds of wild orgies. Their spiritual inept condition caused them to desecrate the sacred things. When they should have been awake, they were dead spiritually and could not read the word of God on the wall. This is not a time for us not to be able to read in between the lines. Friends, you got to be awake to see that the jig is almost up. You got to be awake to see when men are crying out for peace, only sudden destruction, the Bible says, will come. You got to be awake to see that this business of legalizing gay marriages and other inconceivable filth will only bring down this country. As a matter of fact, if you read the book on The Fall of Rome. Read the book, The Fall of Rome, and it gives a list. It gives a list of reasons as to why Rome was taken down, and most of it was inward corruption. Why was Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed? Because of these evils. You got to be awake to see that Rome is busy making plans to reunite so-called Protestant America once again to her side. As a matter of fact, great controversy says it may appear as though she might change, but Rome never changes. Oh, I like this. You know, you should be here and looking at what I see. I can't wait till we make it to the kingdom. You know, there are some people who actually believe. There are some people who actually believe that when we get to heaven, there's going to be a side for Adventism. There's going to be a side for Baptists. And there's going to be a side for Pentecostals. There's going to be a side for white folks and black folks. My friends, if we don't learn to get together down here, you're not even going to see up there. When people want to blame the truth and say, well, the truth is this and the truth is that. Well, you know, we're just too hard on folks and the standards are just too high. The standards is not the problem and the church is not the problem. The problem is that we are not together. And once we are together in one accord, in one place, then the Holy Spirit will come down upon us as in the days of old, and 1,000 people will give their lives to Jesus Christ as in the days of the apostles. Church, we need to wake up. We need to wake up and see what others cannot see. We need to see more than what the average person sees, so that when these things are happening right before our eyes, we will be able to say that God has written. As long as there are many asleep, many sporting away the precious hours and careless indifferences, as it were, upon the very brink of the eternal world, those who do not believe must be sober, must be awake, must be earnest and diligent, and watch unto prayer. And that's why the Bible says in 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. You and I cannot let the things of this world come in to make us drunk. We cannot afford to do that. We cannot allow the enemy to make us believe that these things are more important than spiritual things. You cannot, we cannot do that. It was the custom of Judge Glenn of Missouri to stand and pray with his eyes open, as a matter of fact. A friend tactfully asked him, why do you pray with your eyes open? He replied, does not the Bible tell us to watch as well as pray? Did not the Savior lift up his eyes to heaven and given thanks? After all, it is not the posture of the body or the closing of our eyes which causes God to answer our prayers. Rather, it is the posture of our heart. If there is iniquity, if there is no iniquity therein, God will surely answer our prayers. Peter prayed and said, Lord, save me. You know, when you are in trouble, you don't have time to get up there and say, our most illustrious God, we thank you. You don't have time for that. Peter said, Lord, save me. And as fast, I believe, as fast as he could save me, Jesus had already had his hands stretched out, knowing what Peter was thinking about. And the Bible says he stretched out his hand and lifted Peter up out of the water. Sometimes, my friends, it's the heart. Well, my friends, as we get ready to close, church, I do not know about you, but I'm tired. I'm tired of this sin-infested world. I want to go home. I'm tired of sin in my own life. I want to see Jesus when he comes. I want to experience not getting sick anymore. No more heartaches, no more pain, no more cancer. No more diabetes, no more lung emphysema, no more dying, no more suffering, no more pain, nothing. I'm sick and tired of all of this. No more eyeglasses, no more walking canes, no more defibrillators, no more asthma medication, no more hospitals, no more graveyards. No more cemeteries, no more electric chairs, no more mosquitoes, no more roaches. Nothing, my friends, to annoy the people of God. I want to know what it feels like to never again get tired. The Bible says that you'll never get tired. You will walk but not yet faint. I want to know what it feels like to have unity in the kingdom. I want to experience the joy that only our salvation brings. But most importantly, I want to see Jesus. I want to be able to see him face to face. I want to see my guardian angel on that day when Jesus comes. The Bible says that when Jesus comes, the dead in Christ will rise. And the Bible says those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet Jesus in the air. That's going to be a wonderful reunion. Those of you who love reunions, those of you who look forward to reunions year after year, I want you to know that this is going to be the best reunion. Mothers who have gone asleep in Jesus are going to come up. Fathers who have gone asleep in Jesus are going to come up. Children who have gone asleep in Jesus are going to come up. Husband and wives who have gone asleep in Jesus are going to come up. But the best part about that is that we're told that our angels, our guardian angels that have guarded us day after day after day, God somehow is going to make a miraculous transformation with your eyes. That's why the Bible says that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Even the righteous have to be changed. We're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And the Bible says, I don't know how fast that is now, but the Bible says when Jesus comes, he's not going to touch this earth. We're going to have to go up there and meet him and our angels. And we're going to see our angels that have watched over you while you were here on this earth. My friends, I want to go. You know, when we get there, we're told also in the spirit of prophecy that Jesus himself will open the gate and say, open ye the gates that the righteous nation may enter in. And you can see them coming from miles and miles away. Folks who had to struggle down here on this earth. Prostitutes who have now gotten the victory in Jesus Christ. Dope addicts who have now gotten the victory in Jesus Christ. By the way, they did not get the victory up there. They got the victory down here first before they got up there. But we're going to be able to see them. Folks who were so bounded it down by sin and everything that was evil. You can now see them. And once they come into the city, we're told, we sing, what's the song that we sing? We're going to sit at the welcome table. The Bible tells us, my friends, that there's going to be a table. But the best part about it is that the Bible says that he will rejoice over you and I with singing. I don't know about you, but I want to hear Jesus sing. I want to hear my Savior sing. I want to hear him sing the song of Zion. I want to hear Jesus sing. And the Bible says that he will serve you and I. And that's what I look forward to. But you and I, my friends, before we get there, God is calling us to be awake. He's calling us to be alive. And the only way that we can do that is to study the Word of God. Let me close with this story. It's a true story. A friend of mine went to Boston College. I believe it was during her junior or senior year. She was sleeping in her dorm. Her roommate was sleeping there as well, too. And in the middle of the night, true story, middle of the night, she wakes up, the roommate that is, and starts screaming. She says, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? And she's hysterical. And they're trying to figure out what is wrong with this lady. Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? And finally, when they got her under composed, she said, why didn't you tell me about the mark of the beast? Now, my friend never spoke to her about the mark of the beast, never spoke to her about the Sabbath. As a matter of fact, she never witnessed to her roommate at all. Why didn't you tell me about the mark of the beast? Why didn't you tell me about the Sabbath? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? Till this day, not saying it's right. But till this day, that person will not talk to my friend simply because she feels as though my friend was not friend enough to tell her or to warn her about what is coming upon this earth. My friends, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. You can know all the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. You don't know Jesus, you're not going anywhere. Jesus is a wonderful friend. He is awesome. You can tell him everything and he will not share your business out into the street. He will be there to comfort you. Jesus is awesome. He is wonderful. He is an awesome counselor. You can put all your trust in him and not worry whether or not if he will turn you down. Now, I have had issues in my life. I've had problems after problems in my life. But I will tell you this, God has never, ever, ever let me down. He has been there every step of the way. He has been there every step of the way. I want you to do something in your heart of hearts right now. Those of you who have never, ever given Jesus your heart. In your heart of heart, I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but in your heart of heart, you want to say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life right now. I'm just tired. I've been trying to do it on my own for so long. And the only thing that I realize is that my life is not worth a hill of beans. But I have learned, or I have come to learn, that with you in my life, everything will be okay. In your heart of hearts, if you feel that you need Jesus to come into your life this morning and make him your Lord and Savior, then in your heart of hearts, I ask you to say, Jesus, I surrender all. Come into my life. Take me just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Those of us who have been walking in this for such a long time, please don't give up. Sooner than later, it will all be over. And if you have to sleep before Jesus comes, then make sure you sleep in Jesus. Make sure that the next face you see is that of the lovely Jesus. Now, I don't want to die. I like to live. You know, I enjoy seeing your smiling faces. But if I have to die, there's a spot right there in the cemetery on a hill. Make sure you bury me there so that when Jesus comes, I'm selfish about this. I want to make sure that I'm the first to see him. Put me on a hill. If you have to die, make sure that Jesus is your all in all. Let us recommit our lives to Jesus. Not just today, but every day. Let us live for him so that when he comes, the Bible says, not only will we see him, for we will also be as he is. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Father, what we want to do right now is that we feel we need to recommit our lives to you. We are tired of playing games with you. We are tired of acting as if you don't know us. So, Father, right now we just want to come to you and say, take us as we are. We confess to you that our hearts, we have no strength and no power to give you our hearts and all of its affections. But we pray for grace and strength right now for you to give us the strength to let you take our hearts with all of its affections. Father, have your way in us this afternoon. Help us to be serious about this thing. Don't let us leave here, Father, as if, you know, to say that this is just business as usual. But Father, right now, as we are recommitting ourselves to you, we want you to now, Father, use us. Take us back when we first believe. Take us back, Father, to that place when we were so excited about our faith. Take us back, Father, where we were enthusiastic about our faith. And help us to see, Father, please. Father, don't let us know what we know and be a castaway ourselves. Save us into your kingdom. And Father, I want to pray for all of the people here today. I know you love them. And Father, I pray that you would please seal them for eternity. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. There are those, Father, it's not that they don't want to serve you, but there is so much that is going on in their life that is making it impossible. Father, I pray right now that you would loosen the chain that the enemy has on their life. That you would help them with any situation that they are facing right now, Father. I ask that today, before the Sabbath ends, in the name of Jesus, that you would help that person out. That you would help them to see that you are a God who still delivers. Father, those who are sick, I ask that you would bring healing, not just physical, but also spiritual healing for them as well. Father, there are some, Father, who are hurting emotionally. There are something that took place in their past, but somehow, Father, they can't not seem to shake it off. And they are held captive by whatever it is that is holding them. Heavenly Father, please. Please, Father, may you help them so that they can shake that off. May you help them to see that there's a brighter future that is coming. Help them to see that Jesus is there right by their side, that they don't have to be slaves of their past anymore. Father, help them to see that healing, there's a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Help them to see that Jesus is the balm. Father, I pray for those who are hurting. I pray for those, Father, who are trying their best, but they just can't seem to get it. Father, I pray that you would help them to see that victory is not in trying. Victory is in dying. Help them to see, Father, that victory is not in trying to be like Christ, but victory is in surrendering so that Jesus can live his own life in them and give them the power to have the victory. Father, let them see that Jesus came down to die for them. He came to destroy the works of the enemy. They don't have to be held bondage by these evils anymore. For Jesus came to do away with these very things. Father, please. Please, Father, be with this church. Be with our churches here. We ask for forgiveness, Father, for the way that we have treated one another. Father, we ask for forgiveness for the way that we have handled certain matters. And ask that you would right now accept our prayers. Clothe in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. In his merits alone, may every single person under the sound of my voice, Father, may we all come into the fellowship of Christ in unity and in one accord. And Father, lastly, please be with the pastors. Father, we are nothing. And we do not claim to know anything. Father, I pray that you would help us, first and foremost, to be real ourselves. Help us not to say one thing and do another. Father, I pray that you would please help us to see, as pastors of the churches here in Elmira, help us to see that we are not really the pastors of the churches that you have placed us in. We are your assistants. You are the real pastor. Help us to see that you are the one that is really in charge. And then give us the power to accomplish that which you would have us to accomplish. Be with our young people. Father, please. We can't afford to lose our young people. Father, do what you can, please, to help. The enemy has lied to them in making them believe that the things of this world is more attractive than Jesus. He has lied to them in making them believe that church is boring. And yet all the things of the world are where the things are at. Heavenly Father, right now, please, don't let our young people be lost. Don't let them fall by the wayside. Don't let them be lost, but save them into your kingdom. Let them know that you will do anything to save them. Let them know that you love them even more so than their parents. Let them know that Jesus died personally for them. It was His blood that was being shed personally for them. Let them know that they have a Savior and a friend in Jesus. Bless the rest of our Sabbath. Help us, Father, not to focus on the things of this world, but I pray that You would help us to focus on You. If You need to put in our hearts to go visit somebody right now, Father, then do so. We are now Your servants. We are now instruments in Your hand to do whatever You want us to do. Father, if You want us to go to the hospital to visit somebody, then Father, please, please put that in our hearts. Whatever You want us to do, we will do it. Not in our own power, but in the strength and the might of Thy Spirit. Let all of God's people say, Amen and amen.